I have something on my heart to share with you guys today. My hope is that as I share it with you, it's going to be more of us worshiping together. As I share these awesome things about God, that worship would stir in our heart. That's how I feel this is. This is more a continuation of our worship service than it is a teaching. I find it really interesting that chorus that we really, you know, got fired up on at the end there, "You're never gonna let me down." It just rings so true with what was in my heart to share this morning. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that. Jesus, thank you for that. It might feel like we're jumping around all over the place. It's just one of those ones for me. But my hope is that as we do jump around a few concepts in Scripture, that what you would be left with and what you would see is a clear picture of a God who is faithfully committed to you, to his purposes in your life. You know, I feel like it comes from God's faithfully committed to who he is, his perfect attributes, his character. But in his commitment to being who he says he is faithfully committed to accomplish his purposes in and through our lives. And I feel like I just have to tell you a little bit about where I've been at to set the context as to where this is coming from. And so I have, like, you know, I don't know, you could call it a confession or whatever, but I would say that most of my walk with the Lord has been marked with passion. It's been marked with this vision to reach the world for Jesus. But if I'm honest, I would say that as of late, most recently, I have found myself feeling more worn out and exhausted than passionate. I found myself having more of a vision for my couch or a vacation than for reaching the world, you know? Anybody ever relate to that? Like, I don't know if this is just the reality of life with four kids at this age and running a business and all the stuff that we do. I know that Telsey asked my mom recently, like, "Were you always tired when you had kids our age?" And she was like, "Yeah, that's..." Because I was starting to wonder, you know, if I need to go to the doctor and get my blood checked or something, because I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm a lot on my plate. Anyway, I'm glad some people can relate. So that means there's someone here who will hopefully connect with what I'm going to share. But, you know, what's been hitting me lately is, despite these feelings, despite feeling worn out, despite wherever I find myself, whatever place I find myself in, regardless of all that, I'm never in a place that God's not able to meet me, that he's not able to come and impact me, that he's not able to come and change me and strengthen me and revive me and encourage me. Anybody excited about that? You know, God is not intimidated by our weaknesses. God's not afraid of our shortcomings or our failures. In many ways, I actually believe that God is drawn to our weaknesses. I can see this concept throughout Scripture again and again, and I'm not going to, you know, exhaust us with going through all the stories and the examples, but if you read your Bible and you read the stories of these different people, you will see that God often picked the weak. He often picked the unlikely. He often picked the forgotten. He loves the underdog. He loves the upset victory. Again and again and again, I see that in Scripture. He loves to come into situations where everything seems doomed, where it seems hopeless, where it seems like all the odds are stacked against his purposes. And then he shows up and he does what only God can do. And what I feel like I've learned in my life is to not deny or ignore or try to hide my weaknesses or my shortcomings or my struggles, but that it's way better to do life with transparency. At the same time, though, I think it's totally foolish to talk about my weaknesses and my struggles without in the same breath magnifying the greatness and the beauty and the power and the strength of God. Because it's a waste of time. And it's a really bad idea to camp out on thinking about my weaknesses and my struggles. I'm way better off camping out on the revelation of how amazing God is. Because true humility isn't really about, you know, putting myself down. It's about exalting him. It's about recognizing how big he is and how small I am in comparison. But ultimately, it's about seeing how big he is. And I remember Jonathan Conrath, who some of you may know or remember, and he would talk to us about the but of faith, is what he said. And he said, you have two ways to approach something. I can come and I can go, man, I know God is strong and he's amazing, but I am tired and I'm weak and I'm struggling right now. Or, man, I am weak, I am tired, I'm struggling right now, but I know God is big. I know God is strong. I know he is powerful. I know that he is faithful. I know that he is never running out of energy to accomplish what he's determined to accomplish. And you switch that your butt lands on him and who he is and his greatness. You guys tracking with that? And so there's something horrible that really starts to happen in our life when we focus on our weakness and our struggles. But there's something amazing that starts to happen in our lives when we focus on God's greatness, on his power and on his strength. That's why so many of us have experienced those moments where we are so strengthened, we're revived, we're encouraged as we worship him. Because we start to declare who he is and what he's like. We just start to sing this chorus over and over. You're good. And as we say you're good, it's like something shifts because we get our eyes off whatever's been bugging us and onto him. That's why, I don't know about you, but I get revived and strengthened when I read the Bible. It shifts my focus out from just, you know, what the world is trying to teach me to think or see, and it renews me with fresh vision of who he is and what he's like. And I experienced that, you know, even just this week. Before I share the scripture that really started to stir me, I'll say it. I feel like it's, you know, it's an inferior way to live when we live just according to how we feel. But it's an amazing way to live when we live according to his word, to the truth, to what he says about himself. And you know, just the other day, I'm in this place of feeling worn out, feeling like I described earlier. And I open up to this, being reminded of this phrase, you know, revive me according to your word. And it's in Psalm 119. And I went and read it. And it's like, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. That's Psalm 119:25. And then in verse 28, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. And it's like, just as I read those words, I'm like, man, I can relate to that. I don't know what it means to have my soul cling to the dust, but it doesn't sound very nice. And I know I can definitely relate with my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. And we can see this again and again throughout scripture. There's this experience you can see that Daniel has in Daniel 10, where he's weak and he's worn out and he's just like under this heaviness from these radical, intense things that God's just shown him. And then God speaks to him and says, be strengthened. And he's like, I'm strengthened. Just in God saying, be strengthened, he's strengthened. Or when Jesus is talking to the disciples in John 6, and he's like, okay, guys, you know, are you going to leave me too? And Peter's like, where else would we go? You have the words of life. When you speak, something happens inside of me that I've never experienced somewhere else. I'm not going anywhere because when you speak, it's amazing. His word renews vision. It creates faith inside of us by showing us who he is and what he's like. And I just want to, you know, go on this little, I don't know, some meditation, some scripture with you that have encouraged me throughout my life. And one of my favorites is in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, or sorry, chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. And this is what it says. Paul says, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. What I find really interesting in this scripture is you see this list of cause and effect scenarios, right? If we died with him, we'll live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us, right? There's this cause and effect. But then he ends on this one. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. In other words, you can be faithless, you can be worn out, you can be weak, you can be wherever you're at, but God's still going to be God. God is faithful. It is his nature. It's one of his perfect attributes that he is faithful and he cannot deny himself. He cannot change himself. He's like, this is who I am. This is what I'm like. If you're faithless, I'm still faithful. Does that encourage anybody? You know, he's able to do this because he's entirely self-sufficient and unchanging in his ways. Our feelings may ebb and flow, but God's steadfast. He's not committed to us because we earned it. He's committed because it's who he is. And these two attributes of God that I see in Scripture bring me great encouragement. That he is self-sufficient. That he is in it of himself, having everything he needs. You know, you can see it in John 1 verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, in the beginning was God. God just was. God doesn't require electricity to exist. He doesn't need to be plugged in. He doesn't require oxygen. He doesn't require a little encouragement and nudge on the shoulder from us, a pat on the back. God in it of himself is completely sufficient in his existence and in his character, and who he is determined and dictated by who he says he is, by no circumstance, no thing. He's not shaken. And another one, that this theological term, he's immutable. In other words, he's unchanging. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says that there is in him no shadow of turning. He's unchanging. And so because he's self-sufficient, that means that his goodness and his faithfulness, they're never at risk of depletion and running out. Because he's unchanging, it means I can always count on him to be who he says he is. You know, you ever have the experience, I'm sure you have, where maybe you went to your mom or your dad, who you so like, you look to them, you're dependent on them, and that day they were just tired. Or they were in a bad mood and they were cranky and they didn't want, you know, just didn't want to deal with you. That never happened with me, but, you know. Or maybe you have that friend who you want to go connect with them and you're hoping to be encouraged, but they've just got nothing for you. They're in a worse place than you are, and you know, you're just not getting anything. You don't have that with God. He's completely self-sufficient and he is not changing. When you go to him, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I feel like this just encourages me so much, regardless of how distracted we may become, regardless of how bad we may mess up, regardless of how, you know, off track we may get, God's still faithful, he's still present, and he's still committed to his purposes in and through our lives. He is unrelenting in his pursuit of us. He is unrelenting in his diligence, in his goal, in his mission. And I believe we can miss opportunities. I believe we can make major mistakes that can't be undone. So I'm not trying to promote some lazy, indifferent approach to following God. But I'm wanting us to see that because God's source of motivation isn't tied to anything external, and his nature is unchanging because he's going to be who he is, he remains present and ready to meet with us. So you can get way off track over here, or you can get lazy, or you can get indifferent, or you can have your passion just shrink to nothing, and then wherever you're at, however you're feeling, he's present. You turn to him, and he's got everything you need. He knows exactly what you need. When you turn to him in sincerity, he meets you. He restores you. He fills you up. He strengthens you. He revives you. You know, we can make revival this really complicated thing, but I'd say personal revival is simple. Read the Word. Worship God. Spend time with him however you know how to do that. Obey him, whatever he says to do. I just want to look at one other scripture here with us today of this self-sufficient, unchanging God who in Psalm 23 is described as a shepherd. And Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. And you know, when I think about a shepherd, and then I think myself as one of the sheep, I'm realizing, you know, the sheep may have no clue where they're going. They may have no clue how they're going to get to their destination. And they may have no clue why are they having to walk through some difficult terrain to get to this place. Why can't I just stay here, you know? But the shepherd has an ultimate good purpose and intention in mind for his sheep. He knows where he's taking them and what they're going to have to do to get there. But one thing I do know and I believe about God in his unchanging nature is that he is good. And that his purposes are good. And so if we could, what I'd like to do is I just want to read Psalm 23. I'm just going to give you some out loud public meditations of mine on it. Things that stir up as I read it. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Literally translated, that word want can say, "I shall not lack." "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's hard to preach and cry at the same time. Just look at that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. The self-sufficient God who has everything that he needs within himself has everything you need. I mean, to the most simple basic things, oxygen exists because of God. Water exists because of, you know, like, and then our emotional needs, whatever, wherever we're at, we shall not lack because he does not lack anything. Another place in the Psalms, David says, "In your presence, I lack nothing." He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's like, okay, boy, come here and sit down. You know, like, you need to chill out. You're too busy. You got this and that going. Just relax. Sit here for a while. I mean, I experienced that with the Lord even just this week. Where it's like, even as I just read that scripture, because the power that's in his word, like he says to Daniel, you know, be strengthened, and he's strengthened. I read it, it says, he's going to make me lie down by green pastures. Well, next thing I know, whatever that looks like in the spirit, I swear, I'm lying down in green pastures. I'm being refreshed and strengthened. All the craziness is calming down as he takes me by still waters. And then it says, he restores my soul. He will restore your soul. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on. I love this, okay? Verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, I could build a case easily in Scripture that he may lead you into the valley of the shadow of death. But whether he led you there or you got yourself there, the fact remains here. It says, you're with me. So what I'm saying is whether he led you there or whether you got yourself there, he's with you. He doesn't leave you or forsake you. He's present. He's a good shepherd. He doesn't leave the sheep. He's not afraid by your valley of the shadow of death. He's not worried about it. He's not, you know, it doesn't stress him out and freak him out. "I can't handle this." And he runs away. He's present. He's with you. And then this is really interesting, right? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now this is like a, listen, bud, you actually have to get in the fight sometimes. You actually have to go get in the struggle. I'm going to put what you need, the food you need, the nutrients you need, they're right here in the battle. They're not out there by the green pasture anymore. They're not by the still waters right now. They're here in the battle. So come here, get in it, and I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to nourish you, and I'm going to give you what you need and make you who I've called you to be in the midst of the struggle, in the suffering, in the reality of life. It's part of the process, but the intention and the destination and the purpose of God is good. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. That just sounds good. And then I love this. Surely. I love it has the word surely. It doesn't just say goodness and mercy shall follow me. It says surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's like goodness and mercy. They're like chasing me down and I can't get away from them. And they just keep coming and he keeps throwing like goodness grenades at me or whatever. Or I see him with like two dogs on a leash. One's goodness, one's mercy. And he's like, sick them, get them, you know. And they're coming after you and you can't get away from it. His goodness and his mercy, it pursues you. It is on your tail. It is at your back. It is coming to get you. And how long? All the days of your life. There's a tidal wave of goodness and mercy that's just like it's gonna get you. And finally, the destination. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Forever. He says, come home. So I hope that you've been encouraged by the word today. I hope that if you've been in a place like I find myself in sometimes, just worn out, run down, maybe you're depressed, maybe you're stressed out, maybe you've got anxiety like crazy, who knows what's going on with you, but wherever you're at, it really doesn't matter because God, in all of his self-sufficiency and unchanging nature, is present and ready and able to meet with you. And he's not like, hey, you know, why the heck did you go down? No, he's just, here, have some goodness, have some mercy. I'll pour it out on you. This is what you need. So I hope that today you see the sovereignty of God. You see the strength of God. You see his faithfulness and his ability to keep you, his ability to meet you wherever you're at.